Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Tom Withers, in for Andy Baskin today. Cavaliers losing to the Indiana Pacers in Game 1, and then last night had Game 2. Despite all the injuries, they had it, and let it get away in the final 47 seconds. Man covering it for the Chronicle-Telegram joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's our buddy Bob Finan. Bob, good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing?
Hey, well, we're having fun today, but we're having a lot of different opinions on this. I thought, Bob, and I don't know why I felt this way. Going into the game, I thought the Cavs would win last night, no matter who was out. And then after they went up by a bunch after the first quarter, I thought, I don't think they're going to lose this game. And then when they went up by 20 in the third, coming out after halftime, I thought, there's just no way they're losing. And I didn't think they were losing the game until Halliburton's three-pointer went through with 1.1 seconds left. I really didn't. It was a great effort that they just let get away. What do you take away from it? Great effort? Or, boy, did you mess it up down the stretch?
Yeah, it was a great effort. I mean, they really played hard, the guys that played. But you just can't lose that game. I mean, I think they're going to go down now in the series. And it's hard to believe I'm even saying that, but Indiana has really taken it to them here in this series. And, you know, Cleveland would have to go to Indiana really and almost win both games there. And that's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah, they're going to have to take 4 out of 5, Bob. And you and I have watched enough Cavs basketball over the year. I hate to rank losses, but this one was really a gut punch in the pantheon of tough Cleveland Cavaliers losses. Where does this one rank?
Well, it has to be one of the worst. I mean, you got to rank it right up there with the shot and some of these other bad losses. And this was just they just totally fell apart down the stretch, and they were getting tired. You could tell
right.
Donovan just didn't have anything left. He really played well, but you know, just a couple plays down the stretch would have won the game. Maybe even a rebound would have done it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
one of anything would have done it.
I was just going to say that.
One of anything.
Yeah, an inbounds pass, a rebound, a box out, and you probably get away with it. Bob, what was the most trouble? I mean, there was a lot to digest and dissect in that last 47 seconds. What, to you, what was the biggest sin, if you will?
Well, I mean, allowing Halliburton to get the offensive rebound on the missed free throw, that was inexcusable. I mean, there's a guy standing there, Donovan, to ensure that he doesn't do that. I mean, that's his job on that play, just to get in front of Halliburton and not allow that to happen. And he didn't. And Halliburton was great down the stretch. He had to be fired up after the crowd was chanting overrated earlier in the game, which is absurd. The guy is just an outstanding player.
I thought it was interesting, too, Bob, that Donovan was trying to discourage the crowd from doing that, knowing that, okay, you don't want to fuel this guy up anymore. He's got enough of a chip on his shoulder, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. And I just love the guy. I've always thought he was a great player. I mean, Indiana gave up Sabonis to get him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, he's a quality player. And you don't want to fire those guys up any more than, you know, they already are.
Bob Fanan joining us. You can read his coverage of the Cavaliers in the Chronicle-Telegram. Bob, I thought Kenny Atkinson after the game was gracious and honest. He said, my only regret, maybe I should have played more guys. You're looking for things if you're, you know, wondering what went wrong last night. You're down three key guys, and you had them. You know, and other than the final 47 seconds, I thought they played a near-perfect basketball game under the situation. Now, that said, how do they take what happened last night, erase it, and try and win four of the next five games against the team that obviously is not intimidated by the Cavaliers?
Well, like I said, I don't think that's going to happen now. And I picked the Cavs to win this series in six games, and I don't think that's going to be right, of course. you've got to get these injured guys back in the lineup for one thing. I mean, how long is Darius Garland going to be out with a sprained toe? And to watch these guys sitting there during the game, goofing around and laughing, and it just wasn't a good look at all. And, you know, the national guys really picked up on that. But I don't know. It seems like DeAndre Hunter might be closest one to be back. And, but, you know, they needed a couple of those guys last night. And they did play Craig Porter a little bit last night, Javante Green a little bit. But you really couldn't go much deeper unless you played Tristan. And I was all for playing Tristan a few minutes and let him banging guys around a little bit. if you want more aggression out there, put him in for a few minutes and let him knock some guys down.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we've discussed the same thing, Bob. A little hockey shift, get him out there and bang somebody around. What do you make of Ty Jerome's struggles? I mean, you know, obviously, Bob, he's been as good a sixth man as there has been in the league this year, and obviously he's in a different role last night as a starter because of the circumstances. And he goes 1-for-14 and really didn't do much on the defensive end as well. What do you make of his struggles through these first two games?
I don't understand it. I mean, 1-for-14, that's hard to do for one thing. And he's been so good all year, it's hard to figure out what's going on here. But, you know, his shot was off right from the start. He was making turnovers that he usually doesn't make. Maybe he's not suited to be a starter. I don't know. But they sure missed him coming off the bench in his normal capacity, but he was pretty bad. He was as bad as you could get, and you know, it was hard. Really, they needed him so much. They needed his ball handling. What they needed was Darius Garland in there handling the ball toward the end, his playmaking, not even so much his shooting, but he's really needed. And it'd be a real shame if he doesn't play again this year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bob. I think, you know, the lack of that second playmaker, well, actually, you could argue your first playmaker in Garland is just detrimental. I mean, if you look at the way the Pacers have been able to kind of have Halliburton and Nembhard share that playmaking role, if you will, not having that point guard out there is just, it changes the offense dramatically. So do you think Kenny makes it now a lineup change going into game three? Again, not knowing exactly who is going to be available.
I don't know who it would be.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
Maybe Merrill for Jerome.
Unless you put Sam back in there. And Sam played pretty well last night. He is finally making shots. He's another guy I scratching my head. He just hadn't been making shots with any regularity. And luckily they started going down for him last night. Maybe that'll be a sign of some good things to come.
Bob Finance joining us. He covers the Cavaliers for the Chronicle-Telegram. Bob has covered the Cavs for decades. One thing I want to go back on with Ty Jerome, and I don't want to look past this, and I don't want to think about the end of the season. I wonder if the fact that he has had the best year of his career, and he had it for Kenny Atkinson, who he had some familiarity with from their Golden State days, and he's a free agent at the end of the year.
Mm.
Has come into this at all? I would think not.
You would hope not, but human nature would tell you that it could. Yeah.
I mean, this is your opportunity right here, and man, I don't know that he cost himself any money with anybody, but it hasn't gone well so far. As he's what, guys? 9 of 34 shooting the basketball so far, Bob.
And he just looks lost, doesn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't look like he looked in the regular season.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he moves in slow motion anyhow, but he's been so effective all year. He's been fantastic. It's going to be hard to sign him because he's going to demand some pretty good money, but I think they want to, and I think that will happen. I think there's a couple other guys. I think Sam Merrill could be a free agent, and Dean Wade, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, there's both guys you might want to bring back, but, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Exactly. I was just wondering about Ty.
No, but it's a fair point, though, and especially if this team now in its third year, you know, can't get beyond the second round and get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
We know what that screams, Tom.
Yeah. It screams overhaul. It means, you know, you're going to hear people screaming for a certain number 23 that plays on the West Coast right now. You're going to be hearing screams for Giannis. Again, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. The Cavs could still
surprise,
potentially tighten this thing up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know about any of that. all their concentration has to be on the next game on Friday.
No doubt.
And, you know, they're very capable of going into Indiana and winning, but it would be nice to get one or two of these guys back, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, Mobley was pretty limping around.
He was really struggling, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look good, and you know, he finished that game the other night in game one, but you know, that could be on adrenaline too.
Yeah, ankles typically aren't day to day; that's usually a week to week thing.
Yeah, and but. Why Garland isn't out there, I can't answer that. You know, we might not find out for another couple months like the Jared Allen thing last year. Oh, yeah, he had a broken rib.
You're so right, Bob. I was just going to say that. They're not doing him any favors by not being as transparent as possible about this injury, don't you think?
Oh, right. He's getting a lot of heat from you know, the fans and everywhere. It could be worse. It could be broken for all we know. We're not going to find that out. They're not going to tell you that. So it's unfortunate.
Bob Finance joining us. He covers the Cavs for the Chronicle-Telegram. And here we go to Indiana, where the Pacers, you know, play very well at home. Cavs have been a good road team. Bob, does your gut tell you that they get this thing back to Cleveland for a game five? Or is that completely up in the air based on who could play and who couldn't?
I think they get it back for game five. I think they can maybe split there. but I just don't have a great feeling about them winning this series now. I just don't.
Understandable after the first two
games. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Bob, yeah. Great to have you with us. Thank you very much, buddy. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Robert.
Bob Finan, follow his coverage in the Chronicle-Telegram as he's been all over the Cavs as they keep things hopefully rolling toward Game 3 coming up on Friday. And again, they did not practice today.